right, 1 Thessalonians. We're going now. Trust me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 is where we're going to go, and it's we've been kind of doing a series of this, and that's the fancy word for it. Verse 5. This may go on for a while. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means a tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Let's have a word of prayer. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we do thank you for this day, the blessings that you give us. Lord, we do ask tonight that you would open our hearts and minds to your word. Bless us, Lord, that we can learn from it, heed it to it, and Lord, be doers, not just hearers only. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we talked about the other day when we were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We talked about ways that Satan attacks us. He attacks our minds. We talked about the fact that he attacked Eve's mind. Now, he also attacks our bodies. So with that said, go over to the book of Job. It's right before Psalms. Job chapter 1. And we're not going to read all of this, parts of it. But Satan questions the word. He denies the word. In other words, you know, the Lord didn't really say that. That's what he puts in our mind. Then he replaces that word with lies. And that's what he did with Eve. And be careful with what we do with God's word. We need to know God's word. I want to read you something. And you don't have to go there, but I'm going to read it in Genesis chapter 2 in verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, Eve changed some words around. She added in there, actually she took out freely, because the Lord said you can freely have the fruit of the garden. He said that over in chapter 1, I believe. Then in chapter 2, she added to it that they were not even supposed to touch it. So it's very important that we know the Word of God. Because if Satan comes to us in our minds and if we're questioning it, then guess what? We need to know what we're talking about. So when he's attacking our mind, we should know that. Then we go on. Really, the only way that you're going to have victory over Satan is through the Word of God. Jesus. When Jesus was led into the wilderness, each time Satan said something to him, he did what? He used the word against it. You see, when we use the word, and we need to know what we're saying, when we use the word, Satan's going to back up. Now, if we mess up, it's easy for him to add in, well, no, he didn't say that. So it can really get you. But we're going to look at Job here. If we're walking by faith, we will trust God, and that's in spite of our circumstance. That's in spite of the surroundings that we're in. That's in spite of our feelings. He attacked Eve's mind. Next, we look at it, he attacked Job's body. Let's look at chapter 1 of Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, that's pretty good for the Word of God to say that about somebody. And there were born, he had 7 sons, 3 daughters. He had his substance was 7,000 sheep,
3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. In other words, Job was well off. Job was doing real, real good. I've got the wrong Bible with me. But anyway, verse 5, we'll just read. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And who shows up? Satan. Now, Satan shows up in heaven. Did you know he could go to heaven? He can. He can still. He's still got free. He goes back and forth. He's up there. He could be up there right now. Now, I'm going to say this. Satan is not omnipotent. He can't be everywhere at one time. So he may be picking on somebody else tonight. He could be in heaven tonight, though, saying, look what's down there wagging with it. I mean, there's Kevin. Do you know what he did today? There's Lori. There's Sally. And Tom. He was accusing his wife earlier. And maybe not. There's Dave. Look at these guys. Look, Lord. Look what we got here. And good grief, there's Brother Larry. Now he's going to leave me alone. No. And there's Brother Jim trying to tell them something. That's what he does. He still does that. Now, he showed up there to do one thing, to cause a problem. You see, Satan has access to heaven. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, too many people get this mixed up. Satan was kicked out of heaven way back there.
That's
right. Him and part of his angels, they left. Okay, I get that. Not sure what he done when he left. And we're not going to get into that. I do know this, though. Right now, he still has access to go to heaven, and he causes problems for God's children. Now, in Revelation 12, if you go and study that, you will read that, and a lot of people interpret that that's already happened, and it has not. There's going to be a war one day, and whether it's right there where people can see it, or whether it's going to be up there where we can't see it, nonetheless, there's going to be a war, and Satan's going to be booted out, and that's when he's going to show up down here, and that's at about the 3.5-year mark of the tribulation period, and he's going to be really angry. And that's when he enters the Antichrist. Who else has he? He's only entered one other person that I know of. Correct me if I'm wrong. But who else did he enter? Judas Iscariot. By the way, Judas had a chance. Amen. He didn't have to do what he did. But he did. So don't ever get the idea that Satan can't go to heaven and accuse you, because he can. And he does. He's going to lose all the access to heaven. But right now, that's where he's at. Now, Satan can only do what God allows him to do to you.
Amen.
Now, I don't like the idea that one day the Lord may say, well, you can kill all of his family. You see, Satan says, Job's such a fine man because you've got a hedge of protection over him. So the Lord said, okay. And he killed his children, took all his riches, took everything from him. And we got to hand it to Job because, where's the verse that I want? I think it's the verse 21.
Well, verse 20. After all of that happened, he lost all of his riches. He lost all of his children. Everything he owned, all but his wife, which she gave him problems too. It says, verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, went out, got drunk, cursed God. Now, that ain't what it says.
Amen.
It says, then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head. That was a sign of his grief and his mourning, fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly.
Amen.
How many times, and you don't have to answer me. I'll answer for me. I have before. How many times has something went wrong and you're like, oh, you're mad at God because something went wrong? I thought... We've done that. I'll say I have. I've charged him foolishly. But Job did not do that. Job kept his composure. He kept his, what's the word I want? It's a big fancy word, integrity. Job stayed faithful to the Lord. Through all of that, even though his wife says, why don't you curse God and die? That was later. Or is that typical female? No. That's just her. She said that. Now, then he goes back, verse 1 of chapter 2, and again it says, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Hey God, what you doing today? And God says again, you consider Job? Well, yeah, but I know I took it all away from him. You allowed it, by the way, because God allows it. But, you know, God, if you let me touch his body, he'll curse you. And guess what? He didn't. He said, you can do anything to Job you want to except take his life. You cannot take his life. Job didn't even like the idea of being born, if you read about Job, because he was in bad. Man, all this happened like within just a matter of days. And we complain when, well, 2020. I mean, 2020 ain't been the best of years. I'll be up front with you. If we could wake up and skip it. but I don't know. Then we'd have to go back through the debate again. But never mind. I don't get into that. Satan can only do what God allows him to do to you. Now, when God allows this, there is a reason. Now, what I'm going to say here, let me say it. We should seek of why it's happening. We should learn from that. But I will go ahead and tell you this. You may not necessarily find out why right now. You might find out in a week. You might find out in 10 years. And you may not find out till you get to heaven. When you get to heaven, you might say, oh. But nonetheless, we ought to do that. You see, Satan targeted Eve's mind because he knew that's where he could get to her. But he targeted Job's body. Now, you know how important the body is to God? Our bodies are a tool for God. That's what our bodies are. Some of us take better care of our bodies than others. I'm not going to say. Now, I know Paul says bodily exercise profiteth little. But honestly, a little bit of exercise is good for you. Stretches are good for you. You know, back when back before
COVID, there for a while I was going to the gym, and man, I was feeling pretty good, and adding a little muscle here and there, and not just table muscle, but I was adding a little muscle, and then getting to where I could run a little bit further, and I was feeling good until folk like Kevin show up, and he ain't done nothing in a week, gets on there and run 4 miles. It's like, you know, I'm lucky if I got 100 yards. But, you know, I was doing a bit of that. But the funny thing is, I was going down with Miss Betty and sang. And was going to what they call chair aerobics. And when I walked in there, I'm like, I'm not even 60 yet, and I'm here, and all these old folk, and you know, I'm thinking, what am I doing in here? But most of them could outstretch me. I've never been much of one for stretching and getting your arms, and I can't, that's it. Man, if they put handcuffs on me, it'd probably tear stuff. You know, and that's why I'm careful. I don't want to get arrested because it'd probably rip all sorts of. But that kind of stuff is really, it's kind of good for you. So we should do a little bit. We ought to try to take care of our bodies, but spiritually speaking, let's get off of the physically part. But we do need to remember that. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Now, it's important to God. Our body is important to God. It's a tool for God to use. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Where are we at? My dad's probably watching this thinking, yeah, son. Anyway, what shall we say then, verse 1? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us who, as were baptized into Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, let me explain something here. I explained this to someone I talked to the other day. Baptism does not get you to heaven. They did not take the thief down off the cross and baptize him. And there's been lots of people that got saved that's trusted the Lord as their Savior, and they were killed before baptism. Trust me, they are in heaven. Baptism cannot, has not, ever will get you to heaven. It does get you wet. I baptized Eddie. Some of you were here when I baptized Eddie. Eddie's a very big fellow. Big fellow. And when we went down into the baptistry filled up quite a bit more than I thought it would. And I told him, I said, now listen, dude. I said, Eddie, I said, you bend, lay back, so it'd be easy. And then you stand right back up. Oh, okay, I can do that, Pastor. Well, he's about as agile as I am. When he bent down and he leaned back, his feet went that way. And me and him went this way. And I'm thinking, this ain't good. But he grabbed that plexiglass and he pulled himself up, praise the Lord. But that thing bent and I'm like, oh, we're fixing to have a flood. But anyway, baptism is really and truly, it just told us what it is. When you get saved, you ought to picture this in your mind. When you trusted the Lord Jesus, you died. Your old self died. You had a funeral. What happens after a funeral if you're not cremated? You're buried. Buried, under the water, brought back up to walk in newness of life. It's also a picture of the Lord. The Lord died, he was buried, and he rose again. We're good, right? Okay. All right, that's good. So I'll leave that alone now. For if, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Galatians 2:20. But it's not you, it's not me that's living, it's Christ living in my life now. We might go there in a minute. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now that leaves an opening. Henceforth that we should not serve sin. Who in here is sinless?
None of us.
We all sin. Now we do need to ask forgiveness of that sin. But we all sin, okay? We got the sin nature. Thanks be to Adam. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We are free now from sin. We don't have to serve sin. We can and we do, but we don't have to serve sin. I sin a lot less than what I used to. Because for one reason, way back under, before I got saved, I didn't have a choice anyway. After I got saved, the closer walk I got with... Oh, we were going to sing that, but they changed the words around. The closer walk I got with Jesus, the less I wanted to be involved in all of those things that I used to be involved with. The less Coors tasted good. I thought Coors tasted pretty good. But the closer I got to Jesus, Coors didn't taste near as good as it used to. A lot of things weren't like they used to. At one time, I could go and do a lot of things, and it didn't bother me. But the closer walk I got with Jesus, the more some of those things started eating at me. It was like, and the further and further I got away from them, and the easier it is not to fall back in them, the further we get away from them. That's why a relationship is really good. The closer we get it with the Lord. All right, where was that? Verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death had no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. We're a tool. We should not be allowing the Lord to use this, Satan to use this tool. We should be letting the Lord use this tool. Amen. That's why I said we're God's tool. Verse 12 and 13 are very important. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. In other words, don't go out there and just literally sin because you just want to do it. That's a problem. If you're willing to do that, you've got a problem. If you're willing to live in sin, there's two problems. One, you're either not saved. Pretty big chance you ain't. I won't say you're not, but it's a pretty big chance you're not. Or your spirit's sick. You're starving it. You need the Spiritual Humane Society to come in and arrest you. Because, I told someone the other day, and I know I've told you guys this before, some of you have. There was an Indian showed up one day at a dog fight where they pit dogs against each other. He comes in and he's got a black dog and a white dog. And the black dog is walking along and he's wanting to eat everybody. But the white dog is just... And everybody said, this would be easy. Put all my money on the black dog. He's going to win. Well, the white dog beat the snot out of it. Well, he collects his money and he goes home. He comes back the next day and the black dog the same way. And the white dog just...
be fooled by this again. What a white dog lost. And they're like, well, I'm like, how do you do this? He said, the one I want to win, the one I feed. Amen. Who are we feeding? If we're feeding the flesh is going to win over every time. If we're feeding the Spirit's going to win over.
That's right.
So, Job, I'm going to have to say, was feeding the Spirit. Because Job was a pretty strong fella. Man, there was a lot happened to him in a 48-hour period. All right. We need to remember our body is a tool. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, be careful with 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3, by the way, is tells about a temple, but it's talking about the temple of the body, I mean of the church. Chapter 6, he says 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, the Lord has bought me with a price. When I got saved, I was paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm not to use my body as a tool for sin. We are to, no doubt, glorify God. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectations and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in what? My body. Whether it be by life or death. And Paul says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, he said, I need to live here because Christ needs me here, but to die would be my gain. To be honest with you, to die would be my gain. But I'd be in heaven. You guys would be suffering, not me. But that ain't what the Lord wants, or I'd be gone. Good, nobody said amen. Our bodies are God's treasure houses. Do you know your body? It holds God's treasures. It does. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Nope, I went the wrong way. Got to back up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read a few. Verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, what ministry is that? It's telling others about Christ. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, we're to shine to all peoples. People should see Christ in us. But now look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's our body. We have this treasure of the Lord, and it's in our bodies. God has put the Holy Spirit in our inside of us. The Holy Spirit's living here. He's given us His Word. We should be hiding it in our hearts. And we have been given eternal life. We have all of these treasures in earthen vessels. That's our bodies. Now, Satan would kill you, to be honest, if he could. He wanted to kill Job, because Job was quite the man. But he couldn't, because God said, no, 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 you can't do that. But now, this is sad, but I've got to say this. Satan really is glad that some believers are alive. He's glad they're alive. He's glad they're doing well, because they're working for him. And in the way they're working for him is they're not being faithful to the Lord. They are not witnesses or testimonies for the Lord. Really and truly, they are hindering the Lord's work. Now, I'll be honest with you, and you can go study, I think it's 1 John chapter 5. But a person can die before their time. They want to push the issue. They're a child of God, and they want to be a problem, and they want to hinder God's work. And honestly, it takes others with them. It causes some people not to get saved. When we're not what we're supposed to be, it does. It causes others to say, well, why do I want to take it? They're no different than we. Peter, for instance. When Peter in chapter 21 of John, he said, I'm going to go fishing. That's fine. Peter was going to go fishing. I'm done with this. But he took, I think it was 7 others with him. Well, we're going to go with you, man. See, when we choose not to do what God wants, it doesn't just affect us. It affects all those around us. And we can cause others to fall. And I'll be honest with you, the graveyard, in my opinion, has probably got quite a few people that could have lived a whole lot longer. But they got in God's way. You see, you don't want to get in God's way. I heard a sermon from a guy I know one time. He said, don't torque God off. that's not smart. It really isn't. So we don't want to be a hindrance. Satan wants to remove those who are serving. You ever wonder, and you know how your life is with the Lord. And I see who shows up on every occasion. And I see who's striving to please the Lord. Do you ever wonder why you get a problem? It's like, I'm striving. Well, there's several reasons behind it, but one is God is hindering you because He wants to stop you from doing the Lord's work. You see, He wants us to be and what do we do? There's something that usually when we get sick, we panic. And we get impatient. Impatience not good. Anybody in here impatient? We got a few honest people. Rest of them lying. no, I'm kidding. There's some people got that down pat. That's good. Sometimes I've been known to jump and then say, ooh, there ain't no water. but anyway. See, the devil wants us to be impatient, and especially impatient with God's will. Look at James chapter 5. That's way over there. James chapter 5 and what verse? I got it written down. 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. And have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You see, when it was all said and done with Job and he wrote it out and he kept his faith and he kept depending on God, God blessed him big time. You see, don't get impatient, because that's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to get impatient. If he can get you to be impatient, then he's won a great battle. You see, did you know the impatient, really being impatient, is a sin? It is. The sin of impatience is not good. Being impatient is a sign of unbelief, for one. And being impatient is also a sign of immaturity. Look at Isaiah. Oh, that's way back there. Isaiah, and according to my clock, I got to hurry. Isaiah chapter, what chapter are we going to? 28. That's right before 29. 28 verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make what? Haste. That means you don't want to get ahead of God. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. I don't have a big problem. I'm not too bad waiting on God. The running I do pretty decent, but the walk is rough. When God says slow down, it's like I've always wanted to get there. You take a kid somewhere, you get out of the driveway. We there yet? No, we just get out of. Oh, when I pick up my grandbabies up there at Jimmy's and I get them, we cross the Utah state line. Pops, how much further we got? About 4 hours. 5 maybe. Depends on how fast I drive. Riley says, well, gas it. I'm like, hey, you've been around your dad a lot. which he was around me. Okay. But we don't need to be too hasty. Look at, now we're going to go way back. See, I'm working you tonight. Hebrews. We're almost done. Don't panic. Hebrews chapter 6. That's 5 past 1. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and what? Patience inherit the promises. So we don't want to be if we're impatient, we need to work on that. Honestly, we need to ask the Lord to help us. Be careful praying for patience, but you can ask the Lord to help you along. Kids are, they are we there yet. Now, Satan attacks the mind. He attacks the body. What's the weapon against Satan attacking our mind? The Word of God. That's what we need to use. We need to use the Word of God. Now, next time we go into this, we're going to talk about what the defense is against Satan attacking our bodies. See, I don't want to give all the corn to the cow at once. They get sick. That's why you didn't get all the corn tonight. Some of them didn't get that, but some of them will. Amen. All right. Let's close.